Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always
shined. Musical guests, Sam Tang and Gilbert. Mark Majeure, and now your host, the MC, Voltaggio.
I have been so looking forward to this show ever since our guest and new friend, Arnaud St. Paul, mentioned our current guest, Pradeep Kumar Shivaratur, and I have had several conversations with him, and I've read some of what he's written and seen. There's just so much information on this subject, and all this stuff is going through my head. And all week I've been saying, I have to have a good monologue for the show. And so then something would happen during the week, like, oh, this would make a great monologue. Oh, no, it won't, because it's not really related to silence. And so this would be good. Oh, can't use that. No, that's not really related to silence. What would be good for silence? And I just kept thinking, and my head, like up until just a couple hours ago, I was saying, can't believe I don't have a monologue prepared. And why is it that I don't have a monologue prepared? And then it hit me. Silence. The show is about silence. And the fascinating thing is that, in a sense, we don't have to talk about it, because, in a sense, the word speaks for itself. And yet, does it? Do we know what it means? And do we know how it can benefit us? And do we know how to use it? And do we even ever have it in a world that's so loud, not just outside of us, but inside our heads, like me trying to come up, so working so hard to come up with the right monologue about silence? So I am so looking forward to this conversation with our guests, so much so that we actually have dedicated all of August as Silence Month here at Life Changes Show. I don't even know if such a thing exists, but after hearing so much of what our guest had to offer and seeing that not enough of it was out there in the way that he represented it, we invited him to write a series of blogs on his perspective. And so we have those blogs, and we'll be posting them throughout the month of August for Silence Month on the Life Changes Show. So we look forward to our guest and our musical guest. We'll talk more about them in a little later, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at LifeChangesShow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
We are back. We are the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. We're all online, and I'm online with Mark Lejour.
Such a powerful show tonight. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I guess the best thing I can say about this topic is...
Nice. Silence, in case people didn't hear that. So we are calling the show Leveraging the Power of Silence. Our guest is CEO and founder at Silence Global, Amaya. He is a silence coach and an executive coach. And actually, he has done so much in the business world, which is interesting, that he has taken this on. So we'll talk a little bit about that. In the meantime, welcome to the show, all the way from India, I believe, Pradeep Kumar Sharavuthur.
Hi, Filippo. Thanks for having me into the show. Appreciate it.
It's such a pleasure, and I have to say it's been a pleasure over the past month or so connecting with you and learning so much about this subject from your perspective. And let's start with your perspective, actually. What is your definition of silence?
Silence is not the absence of noise. It's the absence of the you that is standing as separate from the universe and perceiving it. So it's a vantage point that we create in our heads, and from that space, we view the world. And we forget that we have created this vantage point. It's not our original nature. Our original nature is bliss. And we move away from that center, what we call as the bliss or the heart. So this is not something that is unique for anyone. So in a deep sleep state, there is no subject, there is no object, there is no world, there is no separate perceiver. But as we go to the dream state, the dreamer arises and then connects to the dream thoughts. And when we wake up, there is a I thought that arises that becomes the vantage point to see the world around it. It connects to a certain body, certain forms and shapes, and then gets identified with it. So the problem is not the arising of the I. The more the problem is the association and the identification with a certain name and form, which creates me and the other, inside and the outside. And this has ramifications on how your mind operates. And from the mind, the body arises. So if we can transcend this basic paradigm of the inner and the outer, then we become harmonious. And the silence, which is already there, it's not something that we achieve, it's already there, gets unraveled.
So when we wake up in the morning, so I wake up in the morning and I unconsciously make a decision or an observation that, oh, I am Filippo. And then I start to take on all of what that meant to me maybe the day before or so far in this lifetime. And that could be things that are not necessarily that I like. But is that the... am I understanding what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's not, it looks continuous, but it's not. So it's present in a form, in a subtle form in our consciousness. And then the game starts again, the show comes up. And from the heart, these thoughts arises and they go to the head. And then they get projected on the head. And then we play our own life, our own world. So each of us are playing this game. And it's the non-dual state is already there, and it's there in deep sleep. where there's no subject, there's no object, there's no world. So, but there is no awareness in the sleep state, the deep sleep state. What we do through silence and meditation, other practices, is we become aware of that state, but consciously. And that's where, you know, we regain our bliss, regain our joy, without thought becoming a disconnect between our heart and head.
Now, this has root in it sounds like, also religion, right?
Not so much as religion, it's more in the spiritual aspect. And if you look at that, you know, all the spiritual traditions of the world have this aspect to it. But, you know, it's deep down, people who go deeper within themselves find this in every religion, every spiritual aspect. So it's not unique to any particular religion or spiritual tradition.
So you came to a realization about this, or started to look into this kind of thought process at a very young age, correct?
Yeah, it started when I was about 8 years old. I was looking around. I saw that the world was getting divided by, you know, different cultures, conditionings. People were creating their own worlds. So I was looking for something that which cannot be divided by thought. And that's how I arrived at silence. And then once I started realizing it, you know, then got connected to many masters who were, you know, masters of the silence aspect. And so silence is not opposed to sound or noise. So it's like the canvas from which everything springs up. So it's the mother. And it's like it's the most perfect language. So even in relationships, when you become silent, when your relationship becomes complete and full. So it's a complete language by itself, from which, you know, the thoughts arises. So it's not strange to us. It's in fact the mother of everything.
You know, Pradeep, I was looking through my notes earlier, and I saw that I wrote down at 8 years old, you were asking yourself, "Who am I?" And when I saw that in reference to what I'm hearing now, it almost begs a different question, and that is, who am I not? And I'm not my body. I'm not my life or my current life experience, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, there is no need for a definition when we alone are in our deep sleep state. And these thoughts arises when we start identifying with the I that arose. And that's not continuous either. So, you know, it has a semblance of a continuity, but it's really not.
Wow. Well, knowing from 8 years old, you went on to become a business and finance leader for over 25 years with experience geographically from India to the United States and various places in between. So when we come back, I am very curious to know whether you were using it during that time in the business world, and if so, even if not, actually, I know you're actually teaching people in the business world to use silence. So looking forward to that conversation when we come back, and a little later on, live music with our musical guests, Suzanne Tang and Gilbert Levy, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris, And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, online with Mark and our guest, Pradeep Kumar Sheruvatur. Is that correct, Pradeep?
Absolutely. You got it.
What part of India are you in right now?
Kerala.
And is that where you were born before you came to America?
That's true. I was born in Kerala in a temple town called Guruvayur, but I grew up in Chennai.
Well, and then you grew up again in the United States in the world of business, actually not far from where we are here in California, right?
Absolutely. I used to live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I used to work for a medical device company funded by Kleiner Perkins and J&J.
So I'm trying to, having been in the business world, and in a sense still am, I'm trying to picture people looking at you and saying, okay, what do you have to say? And then you say, I say silence. No, I'm just kidding. Did silence play a part of your experience at the time?
Absolutely. So silence helps you to come out of your own thought silos and look at things as they are. It promotes active listening, empathy. It helps in customer centricity in organizations. It also helps in alignment of business partners. So I've used most of these aspects of silence in my work. Generally, the experience that people, my colleagues, have is, you know, I've been very peaceful and in handling situations, even what is considered as tough situations. I've also helped my, you know, senior management in handling challenges with board members and also managing investors and also ensuring that we look at it from the eyes of the customers or the investors rather than from our own eyes. So, and in the process, aligning interests. So it is a deep inner space of peace and joy that I have despite what is happening around me. So I felt that the world is suffering for no reason because it's looking outside rather than looking inside.
So you say how this helps, and I can see that. Now, speaking of seeing, how does it actually look? How do we tell? Do we say, okay, we're going into silence now, or the and we'll explain later? How does it look?
So I keep it totally experiential. So, you know, I do not talk about the silence. So the thought about silence itself becomes an obstacle to its rising, to it being in the silence. So I, you know, take people into a deep silence and then open it out for an interactive Q&A where they can ask questions specific to their personal situation or business aspects. Since I have experience on both sides, on the business side as well as on the silence side, it sort of clears the web of thinking and helps them to see things fresh rather than what they thought it was. It's something like, you know, if you're helping a company market its products, you need to know what the customer needs, not what you think the customer needs. And these two are two different entities. Similarly with, you know, all the stakeholders. So I help in the deep self-transformation journey for CEOs and coaches. So I've helped them, deliver better results for, coaches. For example, there was a coach in Florida, and she had a lot to offer, but she was addressing a group of operational executives who were highly in a conflict mode, and she was not able to deliver because of the high conflict situation. So I suggested a 10-minute silent session, and then it sort of tilled the soil of the mind, and they were ready to receive what she had to give. So you can have those interventions either as a group, or it can be one-on-one, specific to each person's individual setting.
I have a sense that getting people to accept being silent, and that it's okay to be silent, is a challenge, especially when, as children, sometimes we are told to be quiet, or that we should be seen and not heard. And so it can be a negative connotation to some of us as adults.
Yes, it is, because, we have been conditioned to go out there and do things. And silence is the intuitive on the reverse side, because it asks you to do nothing. And when you're doing nothing, then you come back to yourself, you're rested, you're grounded, your energy is harmonized, and you have that clarity that you need to operate from. And it's an authentic space that you create within yourself. It's not that you create it, it's already there, but it's rediscovered.
And you say that there is a fear that silence is like a vacuum. Like, what would happen to us in there that makes us so fearful, potentially?
Absolutely. So the fear arises because we have identified with thoughts, and we assign our reality, so-called reality, to those thoughts of, our name and form. I'm Pradeep, and I have this name and form. But in reality, we are far more deeper. We are the whole universe. There's no difference between us and the universe other than what our thought tells us so. And and it's not an intellectual idea or a concept, but we need to move in awareness in terms of realizing this as an experience. And the more we experience this, the more we come to terms with whatever we see around us. We don't see the world as separate from us, other than what our head tells us, other than what the thought tells us. So we become harmonized with the world, and we start helping people, not because somebody said it. We are helping others because we're helping ourselves in the process.
Oh, you just said because we are helping ourselves in the process, right? And that reminds me of, you made an Aikido reference when we were talking.
Absolutely. So Aikido is one of the martial arts where the concept of the opponent or the concept of the other is not there. I mean, at the deeper philosophical level of its practice. Traditionally in martial arts, you have the idea of the opponent, and that saps the energy from you, because you have created that concept within you, and it's like an energy not within yourself. The more you can transcend that, you go with the flow, and you just guide your other person towards you or away from you, whichever way you want to do it. So there is no question of the other. And this system is also there in traditional martial art forms in other parts of the world, including India, where the master, when he transcends a certain stage, he does not think whether it's an army before him or just one person. He just responds to the situation.
That it's not an army or a person in front of him, it's a part of himself or herself?
Absolutely. So there's does not see anybody as an opponent. So he's free to respond to the situation, whatever the situation demands.
Wow.
It could be fighting or running away and then fighting again. There are masters who can fight an entire army, and that's not possible at the level of thought. It's possible only when you go beyond thought.
Wow. So if that's possible, then I'm trying to imagine what is possible in our daily life with silence.
Absolutely. So, you know, bliss is, we are already bliss, but, you know, moving away from it by looking for something outside. And right from single celled organisms to, you know, the highest part of our evolutionary cycle, everybody is searching for bliss. But bliss is our original nature, and we have lost it because, you know, we have left it behind through thought. And it's not that thought is against silence, but we need to understand that thought has arisen from the silence, and that relationship has to be remembered.
You said that when people start to actually get into the silence, that they feel peaceful. But one of the things that surprised me is that you said people also cry.
It's not everyone's experience, so it all depends on what's within your psyche, based on your life experiences. So some people, you know, they have been carrying these energy knots. So typically, what happens is when in your normal day-to-day life, you're always keeping the surface of your consciousness wavery. So as a result, all these deep-rooted emotions are lying at the bottom and do not have an opportunity to exhaust itself, you know, coming up and exhausting itself. So when you become silent, you know, naturally these have an opportunity to come up and exhaust themselves, and then you're free of it once and for all.
One of the things that I remember asking you is, then what is the difference between silence and meditation?
Silence is meditation without the meditator, and by which I mean that, you know, you are not focusing on an object. So you are the subject from which, you know, everything is perceived, and even the what we call as the limited sense of the self is also an object in that sense. So it's not concentration. So it is more of just being with yourself and being in harmony. So the moment you create a duality, then you have lost the meditation. So so that's the difference between silence. And silence is the ultimate aspect of meditation. So what I'm talking about is bringing the benefits of silence to the workplace and people's lives. But the deeper aspect is your own, you know, self-realization, self-actualization.
So in a work situation, or for that matter, a relationship situation as well, or family, what have you, friends, that you say the perception of the other comes from the perception of the body idea. So when I say I'm me, well, that means there has to be somebody else. But if I don't make a me, then there isn't a you. We're all one.
Absolutely. It's already that. So we are just making it up in our heads.
I'll listen, and he stopped there. Nothing else to say on that. Well, actually, a good place to pause. And when we come back, there are a couple other brilliant things that I have heard you say that I've jotted down that I'd like to talk about when we come back, Pradeep. I'm enjoying this so much, and I'm looking forward to the four or five blogs that we're going to post throughout the month of August as we dedicate August as Silence Month on the Life Changes Show. So,
absolutely.
More with Pradeep Kumar Sheravatur when we come back. And in our next segment, we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy question. And after that, we'll be joined by our musical guests from New Mexico, I think, Suzanne Tang and Gilbert Levy, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Boltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, online with Mark Leger, and our guest is Pradeep Kumar Sheravathur, and we have been talking about leveraging the power of silence. Now, if you want to learn more, we have a couple links at the page we've created for Pradeep Kumar. You will find it on the Life Changes Show. We have his LinkedIn page, and we also have his Twitter page. And as we get more, we're going to add more links and add more, because this subject requires more, ironically, in this day and age, when it in theory can be so simple, and yet somehow we've made it so hard. Right, Pradeep?
Absolutely. So technology has brought together the world, but without the coping mechanisms to come together without conflict. Technology is connecting us to the outer world, but we are disconnected now to our inner self. And that is translating to psychological stress, and which then cascades down to the body, through the breath. So whenever there are changes in the psychological level, it sort of programs disease into the body by irregular breaths and creates anoxic states in our system, which then translates to disease both at the level of the mind and the body.
I'm thinking of my experience with trying to create the right monologue, and usually they come to me, or usually, and I just couldn't make it happen. And I remembered your words that silence can't be grasped by the intellect.
Absolutely. So bliss alone is in reality, but we cannot be blissful, because bliss is our original nature. The moment we try to be blissful, we are moved away from it. We are moved away from our heart, and then we keep searching for it. So it's like a game that life plays, and the more we realize that, the more peaceful and joyful we would be. Obviously, we can use the intellect and pass through the life, but we should not put the cart before the horse. We should ensure that we are happy, and from that happiness, we do whatever we do.
And silence comes before the intellect, which I thought was brilliant.
Right. So it's we are all like the ocean, and then the waves come. So as far as the ocean is concerned, it doesn't matter whether which wave comes and what form. But for a third-party observer, he perceives that as separate from the ocean, whereas it is not.
Well, we're coming to the end of this great conversation. I'm so enjoying it, and I do want to remind people that they can connect with you directly. We have the links up if there's anything else you want to share on that, on how they can, because you do work with as an executive coach and as a silence coach, one-on-one and groups, and you do speak, and you've actually... along with this show, you've been on several different shows, ABC, CBS, and Fox. And one of the things that I was hoping you could leave us with is another thing that has stuck with me for a while since we spoke. Actually, off and on, I think of this, that you say, when we want something and then we achieve it, then we feel good. But that's not what's actually happening. Could you Could you elaborate on that, please?
Absolutely. So if you take ourselves as the x-axis and the world as the y-axis, we perceive an object which is in the xy coordinate, and then we move towards it. And then when we achieve it, we feel self-fulfilled, and then we come back to the x-axis, which is ourself. And then another thought arises. But there is a kink in that graph when, you know, a certain desire of or a certain object or goal is achieved and another thought arises. And in that space, in that kink, we are with ourselves. We are in our hearts. And we feel very, very fulfilling and very happy. But the challenge is not that. The challenge is we assign our happiness to the achievement of a certain object. Or we assign our suffering to the non-achievement of a certain object, which we created in the first place. Whereas the reality is the real happiness is coming because we are back home, back in our heart.
I feel like we could speak for an hour on this. I find it so brilliant that we, in other words, there may be a shortcut. That's where my mind goes. And that's what, wait a minute, that's the whole thing. That's what you're saying. we can go straight to the silence.
Yeah, there's nothing to do. So it's just that. The silence is the common ground. So right now there's a lot of conflict in the world because there is no common ground. You know, people are divided by different cultures and conditionings and they live in their own world. Mm. I mean, there is a need for a common ground and silence is a common ground. And all the, not only human beings, all animals in the whole universe shares this common canvas from which everything comes. Even music arises from this canvas. So it's our real nature. So, you know, we are just going back home. And in the COVID times, you know, it's also reassuring and reaffirming that, you know, we need to go back to our heart, keep a very joyful, simple life based on our heart, so that, you know, we are one with nature. We don't harm nature, and in harming nature, we are actually harming ourselves in reality. Mm. And it's because we perceive that as different that there's so much of conflict out there in the world.
Mm. Mm. Thank you for that, and thank you for sharing in this way. I love this subject. I'm glad we've made August here at the Life Changes Show Silence Month. And we're going to be featuring, obviously, this interview today, 1st of 3rd of August. And then every week we're going to feature a different blog post from our guest, Pradeep Kumar Sheravatur. And you can find his links on our website. You can find our his blogs on our website. And we'll be sharing also those links onto our Facebook pages and Twitter, etc. So what a pleasure it has been. And we're looking forward to so much more. I know that we've tentatively planned already in the silence.
Likewise, Filippo. It's truly appreciate and gratitude.
Pradeep, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Teresa and I live in Mount Laguna, California. My husband and I have lived here for almost 40 years and we love our lives. We've had many wonderful dogs share their lives with us, and I guess that the truth would be that we enjoy the company of animals more than we do people. My husband and I enjoy solitude and we don't read the news, nor do we watch television. We do watch lots of documentaries on subjects we enjoy, and we are constantly researching our interests on the internet. One of the nicest things about where we live is that there is so much land between us and our neighbors, so we seldom have to interact with other people. However, when we go into town to shop, there are always people we have met, as it is a small community. My question is how to get them to stop telling us about all of the horror going on in the world. We are very skeptical of much of what is being shared, and we just don't feel we need the information. Why can't these people keep this kind of information to themselves, and how can we remove ourselves from these kinds of conversations?
Dear Teresa, It is good to hear from someone who loves their husband and the lives they've shared. It appears to me that you have, for the most part, sheltered yourself from the traumas and dramas that are going on all over the planet. And I'm impressed that you've been able to do this with all of the information available to the masses. I personally don't watch the news and spend as little time as possible on some of the negative shifts and changes taking place on Earth. Because I live in Los Angeles, I feel it would be foolish to ignore what's going on in the world, and especially in my neighborhood. You have chosen a different life than most people are living. Your neighbors probably do watch the news and assume you are as curious as they are as to how to stop the nonsense. I feel that they may be looking to you for answers, just as I look to my family and friends for their opinions as to what is going on in today's world. However, since you're not interested in discussing the topics they're bringing up, you can simply say, "Thank you for saying hello. We only have a few minutes to get our business done, so we don't have time to get caught up in a long conversation right now." And then simply say goodbye for now and walk away. I feel that if you make this your response, it will not take many of these occasions before these people realize that you are not their audience. I wish you and your husband continued peace.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition with our musical guests, Suzanne Tang and Gilbert Levy, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and so excited to introduce our musical guests. Their resumes are quite long, and so I shall say that our musical guest is a flautist, Suzanne Tang, and our other musical guest is Gilbert Levy, a drummer and percussionist. And maybe I'll say this, the Los Angeles Times has gone on to say that our guest is a brilliant flautist who plays music for the soul, which is exactly what we need right now. Thank you both for being on the Life Changes Show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Filippo.
What a pleasure to not only have heard your music, but hear where your or to learn where your music has been placed and where you have played it. You have tapped into television, film, live performances, throughout the different parts of the world. I what an interesting thing to know that that soul that you put in your music is out there in so many different ways.
Yeah, we're grateful. We're grateful we can play our music from the heart and that it resonates and that it actually gets out there.
Was this something that you set out from the very beginning, either one of you, that you said you want to do soulful music, or did it evolve?
It was, for me, it was definitely an evolution. I was a classical flutist. I got my master's degree and was playing as a classical flutist through my 20s, and then I got into world music, and it was with the Chinese bamboo flute, which I'll be playing for the second piece, that really taught me that I had a voice that was beyond the written page, and that it was something I could trust intuitively, and that has really guided my path. And with Gilbert, I'll let him speak for himself.
Well, Suzanne is such a strong, unique player that you can't change that part of the music, but what I bring to it is an essence of song form and rhythm, mm-hmm. Some organization, but you can't, you know, once this flute genie came out of the bottle, it was, you know, epic.
it was like a marriage made in heaven, one might say.
Yeah, that's, well, right. That's true.
Well, now that I've said that, was it the music that brought the two of you together, or had you met outside the music?
You know, it's a great story. It's another few more minutes, but it was through the drums, and then we became close friends and started playing music right away with each other. So it was kind of both. We were just drawn to each other and our music.
And then she said, I just want to let you know, if you don't want to have a kid, this is going to wrap up pretty quickly. So 17 years later, we have our beautiful son, and we feel pretty grateful.
Well, and not just a beautiful son. Did she tell you that chickens were in the picture too?
Chickens, goats, dog, cats.
I'd like to read your book, because that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah, and our dog's right next to us, so we're really hoping he stays quiet.
Oh, if he doesn't, then it'll be part of this moment's experience, to be sure. And what a lovely moment. And it's so perfect that you're here. And thank you to Tess Cacciatore, mutual friend and a producer, who said, wait a minute, you can't have that musical guest when you have Pradeep on. You have to have Suzanne. And then Suzanne, you said, well, if I have my way, I'd like to have Gilbert, and the rest is history. So the two of you are a musical duo, and yet you're also part of a band, right? You you have your own band. Is that the band called Mystic Journey?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay. Our two brothers of many years are back in Los Angeles, and we don't play nearly as much as we'd like to since we moved to Santa Fe. And then, of course, now we have this other situation. So, but we just love those guys, Dan Torres and John Osman.
Yeah, and they're all over our CDs. I mean, we're a band. We love them.
Nice. And speaking of CDs, you have so many. Are we going to get to hear something from a CD, or is this brand new?
You know, or we're going to be just. We love to improvise, and that's where that's where so many of our pieces start from. And we're going to be just creating something new for you guys tonight.
Oh, are we going to have a name for this? Don't tell me Silence.
Wait, Silence.
Oh, let's go with it.
No, so we'll love that we're with Pradeep's show, because I love so much of what he said, and I totally resonate with so much of it. And grateful, and here's Silence.
Well, now here. We'll hear the sound of Silence now. And this is Suzanne Teng and Gilbert Levy on the Life Changes Show Live at Home Edition. Thank you. Wow. Wait, you are done. I didn't interrupt too soon, did I?
No, you are done.
I thought, oh, maybe I should have left it silence a little more just in case. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Suzanne, what were you playing?
That was a bass flute.
A bass flute. Okay. Yeah, as soon as you started, I thought, oh, this isn't the usual flute I was expecting. So from a classical flautist, which usually plays a traditional flute, what other flutes do you play? The bass flute, Chinese flute, which we're going to hear.
Yeah, lots and lots. I have hundreds of flutes. That's the bass flute from the silver flute family, but I've got bamboo flutes. I play flutes from China and from Egypt and Turkey and Indonesia, and I just kind of developed this passion for flutes, and the collection grew, and the family's large.
and Gilbert, that's similar for you too with percussion, right?
Yeah, and we do. I had a hand injury 15 years ago, which affected the ability of my right hand to do really cool stuff. So I started learning to play more strings, and it moved me into composition more. So my percussion is more compositional these days rather than, virtuosic.
That was the Russian metal drum called the Rav that he just played.
The Rav, a Russian metal drum. Wow. Such an interesting combination of all the different countries and cultures actually that come together in your music in ways that people normally don't know. Like I'm looking through some of the things, like watching Boston Legal or Murder, She Wrote, or the film 300 or something like that, or the Emmy-winning Tumbleleaf from PBS. You hear these things. You hear the music in the background, and you just don't know how much actually goes into it. Because in all of those, including CBS's Survivor, et cetera, that's your music as well, right?
Yeah, a lot of them I'm playing silver flutes, and then a lot of them I'm playing these crazy flutes. And so, yeah, I started when I lived in LA. I lived there 22 years. Gilbert lived there 28 years. I was doing a lot of session work, so I had a bit of a niche doing different flutes and learning. I'm a classical flutist, so I could read, but I could also improvise, and I think that served me well and got me into these interesting places musically.
Right. Well, letting everybody know that your music is available wherever music is heard and sold, and of course they could learn more about you and find your music, including some videos, I think, at mysticjourney.net, correct?
Correct. You got it.
And do you have people follow you on social media?
Yeah, we have a Facebook presence. We don't do Twitter, and Instagram's just pictures of my vegetable garden and animals, things like that.
That's cool. It's all part of the mix. okay, so actually we get to hear another piece with different instruments and different title, I imagine.
Yeah, well, actually, this is a piece. I take it back. This is a piece... It's going to be a truncated version, but it's called China Lily which is always a very special piece because it was really the first piece that I wrote that I feel was something that's so huge to me to be able to play this Chinese flute and share my heart with other people. So it grew into a piece that's on our first CD. The first CD is called Mystic Journey, and this is a piece called China Lily. And it's always different in performance, but it's got the essence of the melody and rhythm.
Well, perfect. And Gilbert, what will you be playing?
I've got an African drum that I modified, so it's more like a Chinese drum. And I've got some bells and whistles on my feet.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Actually, no whistles, just bells
just
and chains.
Bells, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was wondering how you're going to do that, but, you know, all kinds of things are possible. I was about to say, I wish we could see that.
Yeah. Next time I'm going to relive.
Save that for the video. Okay. Yeah, right. So here is Suzanne Tang and Gilbert Levy performing China Lily live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. That's very special. Thank you so much, Suzanne Tang and Gilbert Levy. So mysticjourney.net is where people can learn more about you, and they can follow you, of course, on the socials. Where is that song, China Lily? On what CD can we hear the full version?
That's from the first CD, and it's called Mystic Journey, and it's under my name, Suzanne Ting.
Oh, well, that'll be easy, because mysticjourney.net is where you can find that, and also where music is sold. What a pleasure it has been to have the both of you on and to share your music and soul like you have tonight.
Thank you.
We've you're such a nice
it.
Guy.
Yeah,
man.
You're great.
Oh, thank you. So I look forward to more coming from you. And as soon as all this is over, getting to see you two perform with your band, Mystic Journey. That would be such a pleasure to see you live.
Great. Can't wait to see you.
So big thanks again to you, Suzanne Ting and Gilbert Levy, our musical guests. And another big thanks to our guest, Pradeep Kumar, Sharavatur. And with that, that is our show. Thank you to BBS Radio, Doug and Don Newsom. And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.